Chapter 25. There would be time later to think over what I'd seen. For now, I burst through the open doorway of the ruins, searching for Peg. I didn't have to hunt for long. She was leaning against a crumbling wall just outside, arms held before her, claws out. Even when lounging, the tennis eye looked predatory.
"You saw something," she said. "You're cytonic, aren't you? Both of you."
Yes, I said, glancing to Chet.
"Do you know about the Path of Elders?"
he asked Peg.
"Never heard that term before," she said. "But these old ruins, they have their own memories. Anyone can feel that. And I've been told about cytonics."
She pushed off the wall and stood upright.
"This has to do with your mission? The one that's so important that you two had to steal a ship from us?"
"Yes," I told Peg. "And there's more. Tell me about your plans to assault Shorehold." She narrowed her eyes at me. "Please, Peg," I said. "I need to know. If the pirates are afraid to fight the superiority, if they don't want to risk the good things they have now, how do we persuade them?"
"We," Peg said. "You're joining in?"
I glanced at Chet, who nodded. "Provisionally, yes," I said. Peg grinned.
"Words. Well, we don't need to persuade the pirates, not individually. We merely need to get my sons to follow me again."
"Your sons," Chet said. "They turned against you."
"Yeah," Peg said. "They lead the two largest pirate factions. I'll admit, I didn't expect both of my sons to grow enough mullins to rebel. After we all left Shorehold the first time, I tried to get everyone to attack it. We had a small initial clash, but our people were frightened by that and disorganized. When my coalition collapsed, my sons took away some of my strongest forces to start their factions. Make some mother proud."
"Proud? That they rebelled?"
"Exactly," she said. "They were incredibly bold, overthrowing their own mother. They were barely adults. Ah, it was great. But it's inconvenient, so we have to win them back. My eldest, Grem, has been champion for a year now. Leads the faction called the Jolly Rogers. An Earth term, no?"
"I believe so," Chet said.
"Well, you'll probably get to meet my son's forces soon. The moment word of your skill reaches them, I suspect Grem will send a raiding party to attack us. They'll be growing Delans to know the truth, and I'll expect you to show them."
"I'm eager for it," I said.
"I doubt Grem will join the raid, but afterward, I can demand a contest between you and him, and he'll accept. I know my son, and though he's the best pilot among us, he's nothing compared to you. If you defeat him, he will be forced to grow the Tageo."
"Which means?" I asked.
"A very rare fruit, meaning he feels submissive to his parents. If you defeat him, he will listen to me again."
"You sure about that?"
"Absolutely," Peg said. "It is our way."
I didn't point out that she'd been surprised by their betrayal, so I had my doubts, but I was willing to give it a try.
"What about his brother?"
Chet asked.
"Sam leads a different faction," she said. "He'll return to me too, if my faction claims the championship. Trust me."
Yeah, that sounded too convenient to me. There was more to this. Peg still had her secrets. She watched me a moment longer, then started through the ruins toward our ships.
"We should be returning," she said. "I expect a raid at any time, and I don't want to leave the others too short-staffed."
"Well," I asked Chet as she wandered off. "Did you know we'd have to get into Shorehold itself?"
"I suspected," he admitted. "The portal there is one of the largest and oldest in the region. I had hoped it wouldn't be necessary. But at least we have a path forward."
"Assuming we can trust Peg's plan."
"She seems to trust it," he said. "Come, we should return to our ship. You remember what happened last time after we saw one of these?"
Yeah. Our entire fragment had been destroyed in a collision. Perhaps it had been a coincidence, but I found myself hurrying after Chet just in case. We gathered Maxime, and soon the four of us were lifting off to join the Resonance and start back toward our home base.
"You two appear unusually solemn," Embot said as we fell into formation. "It worked, I assume? You again saw the past?" "Indeed, AI," Chet said. "We kind of contacted a cytonic person in the past."
Embot said. "Clarification, please." She could feel my questions somehow, I explained, in her time, and left answers for me. Or maybe she just heard the general curiosity of all who came after her. Either way, I think we know what happened to the Kits and Cytonics, and why there was a sudden dearth of contact between Earth and aliens after some initial interactions in ancient times.
"Really? What?"
"War," I said. "With a Delver."
"We don't know it was a Delver," Chet said, "but it did seem to have been some kind of Delver-like entity. The Cytonics of the galaxy, those that had contacted one another, gathered to fight it, and not many survived."
"They fought a single entity," Embot said.
"And won," Chet said, "by somehow making it real. But there were great casualties.
And we now face more than one," Embot said.
"Way more than one."
"Yes," I said, leaning forward in my seat. There was something else. No loss of memories in the nowhere back then. It's a more recent development.
"It's connected," Chet said, "and the answers are at Sherhold. Some of them, at least."
"In the memories of a man named Jason Wright," I said, frowning.
"Jason Wright," Embot said.
"Superiority Historical Archives list him as the human who initiated first contact with the greater galaxy after accidentally discovering he was cytonic. He kicked off the expansion of humankind into the galaxy and indirectly caused the first human war of conquest." I nodded absently, thinking about that ancient cytonic who had communicated with us. The feelings of exhaustion and loneliness that had permeated her. I felt that something had sparked inside me, or, well, the spark had always been there. Now it burned brighter. "Chet," I said, "do your powers feel different?"
"Indeed," he said. "They talked to me about using my mind to see around myself. I feel that with practice, I won't just have an instinct for the fragments. I might be able to see into buildings, or around corners, or, well, it seems incredible."
"I learned something else," I said softly, "but I don't know what it means yet. You are a star."
"Hey," Maxime's voice said over the comm. "The rest of you registering that figure down there, at my 9?
"Odd to see someone," Shiver said, "out so openly. Not hiding. If we were recruiting, they'd be in trouble."
I checked out the window. A solitary figure stood on a ridge on a distant fragment. It appeared to be a Heklo. The distance was far enough that it made it difficult to tell. And though I couldn't see for certain, I could feel a coldness and a pressure against my mind. I was positive the figure had white, glowing eyes.
"You feel that?" Chet asked.
"Yeah," I said. "It's one of them. At least they didn't find a way to destroy the fragment this time."
"Still worries me," Chet said. "I had hoped that we'd lost them these last few weeks. It is difficult for the Delvers to project attention this far out. But now they have located us again. Hopefully this doesn't lead to difficulties."
I shivered. Soon we were past it, the figure dwindling in the distance. My comm started flashing, though, a direct call from Peg. "Yes, Captain?" I said.
"What did you see?" she asked. "In those ruins?"
"Why?" I asked her.
"Something feels odd," she said, "about that figure we just passed. About this entire excursion. I answered your questions about my plans. Now answer mine. What did you see?"
We saw the past, I admitted. Memories, like you said. We're investigating a way to fight the Delvers, and we got a message from a woman who encountered something like them long ago.
Fight the Delvers, Peg said.
Yeah, I said.
If it's any consolation, Chet said, we would prefer to find some way to placate or reconcile with them. For now, however, we must continue our quest and visit the portal at Sherhold to find the memories hidden therein.
Well, our goals overlap, Peg said, so I can't say I'm sorry about that part. But fighting the Delvers, I suppose if you're Cytonic, maybe you can manage it. I knew this one Dione in the security force. They left soon after arriving because they kept changing to look like different people. The heads of the superiority pulled them out the moment they heard of it.
Changing shape? I'd never done anything like that.
A Cytonic talent, Chet said. Projecting illusions into the minds of others, making oneself appear different, even feel different. It works on anyone in here, though I've heard that in the somewhere, it only works on other Cytonics.
Actually, I felt a chill. I had heard of that happening. Someone had done it to my father, making him see the wrong things. I was coming to understand more and more that different Cytonics, they could do different things. I could hear the stars and teleport. Chet could extend his lifespan and see great distances with his powers. Peg dropped off the line and M'Bot had a chance to speak.
Why didn't the Delvers grab one of the members of your team and turn them into a glowing-eyed thing? He asked. Peg and Maxime were closer to you than the Heklo. Gathering a large number of people together repels them, Chet said, particularly if those people see themselves as a group. My theory is that the Delvers need someone who is as alone as possible, and someone who doesn't view themselves as belonging.
I dwelled on what we'd seen, and found it more difficult to make sense of it all this time. In fact, I had to admit that as we neared home, I was glad when a more mundane danger cropped up. An emergency announcement that a group of starfighters from an enemy faction was approaching the Broadsider base at high speed.